We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. 17 team strikeouts out of 27 outs, Scott.
17. That's a lot of strikeouts. Were 18 of those 17 strikeouts on a curveball?
I think they were. I believe they were. This was like deja vu all over again to the 2017 ALCS, where all Lance McCullers did was throw curveball after curveball and the Yankees couldn't hit it. I mean, Carpenter in his last at-bat in the eighth inning saw all curveballs. And I mean, it's tough to get on Carpenter necessarily. He's had 6 at-bats since August 2nd. But it looks like a guy who's had 6 at-bats since August 2nd. And now 6 strikeouts and 6 at-bats for him in the playoffs. So it's just, yeah, it's... I said this
to be fair that the last Verlander at bat was 2 horseshit strikes at the to close out.
I mean, the umpire was a joke tonight. I mean, I'm not about to sit here and complain about the umpire saying that's the reason they lost the game. I said this on. I know we were just talking before we went live, but like you were like, oh, this is house money anyway because they're coming off no rest. They got Taillon versus Verlander. You only need to steal one game in Houston so you can go home and take command of the series. Like, I get all that, and I acknowledge all that. Like, losing this game does not lose them the series. Anyone thinking that, you know, get a fucking grip.
They won their Verlander start. That's what's supposed to happen.
The frustrating thing about tonight is this was a winnable game. Verlander was not sharp early. The Yankees wasted many opportunities. You can't ask for much more out of Taillon. Like, he wasn't great. He gave up a lot of hard hits. He only got 4 swings and misses. I think he avoided danger time and time again, but ultimately he only gave up 1 run. You can't really ask for much more there, 2 times through the order. And this was a tie game in the middle innings, and it was just completely mishandled after Taillon, or really sending Taillon back out for the 5th inning. But from then on out, just the game was completely mishandled. Aided by 17 strikeouts, can't touch a curveball.
Can't touch a curveball. That's definitely one of the big themes of the night. I mean, there's some good curveballs, I will say. Verlander was spinning that thing. His curveball looked really good. It did. I mean, he couldn't locate his fastball early, but his breaking stuff, I thought, looked really good. And then he started getting some good calls on the fastball, and it was curtains from there, because he really didn't give really many opportunities after that. But yeah, the curveball was tough. Presley threw some very good ones at the end of the game as well. But yeah, they had it's a tale of two teams, one that swings and misses a lot, one that swings and misses not very often. You know, it's funny because I was looking back today, or last night, I got caught at like 12:30 and I kept watching. I ran into our podcast with Blum and the Houston Astros, Tuttle. And Jeff Blum is a color commentator for the Astros. And we were talking about this early in the year, about the difference in the teams and how, you know, a lot of these deep playoff teams just don't swing and miss a lot. They go bat to ball, they can get on base, they force you to make a play. And that is the big contrast in what we saw today.
Yeah, the Astros were the second least strikeout team in the majors, and I think the Guardians were the first. The Yankees are going to hopefully go through two teams that don't strike out, and they strike out a lot. Like,
they struck out twice tonight. Twice. Altuve once and Alvarez once.
Yeah.
So look at that discrepancy.
17-2.
That's 17-2. Yeah. That's large. That is very large.
But it was a 4-2 game. It's like, okay, 17-2 strikeout wise. Yet basically all the runs were still on solo home runs. The Astros got one of their runs on the double by Maldonado. Like, again, like what are we doing letting the 8-9 hitters beat us? But they beat Taillon, they beat Clark Schmidt tonight. But almost all of the runs scored tonight for both teams, solo home runs. Pretty much all the runs scored in the postseason, home runs, and a lot of them solo home runs because no one can fucking get on base. So you can strike out 17 times, you can strike out two times. Did you hit one more home run than the other team? Because that's how you're going to win.
I mean, that's the way that's the Yankees case, no doubt. That is definitely the Yankees case.
That's literally Sweeney Moody just tweeted it. So the Yankees were 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position. They stranded 7 runners. The Astros were 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position. They stranded 7 runners. The Astros had 5 walks. The Yankees had 2. But the Astros hit 3 home runs and the Yankees hit 2. And that's the difference in the game right there. I mean, the strikeouts are not okay, but it's really a moot point. It didn't make a difference. Yeah.
It didn't make a difference because what does it matter if you ground out to third or you strike out? It's an out is an out. Like, I understand in certain situations it can be detrimental.
We'll see. We'll see how that works the rest of the series.
Let's circle back
to that because 100%. It's going to kick us. It's going to bite us in the ass.
It's absolutely going to. But even
the
though
law the average is going to come back at some point in a 7-game series like that, and you're going to see a 2-out hit. And
of course,
you know, one team didn't get it, the other team's not.
Or the Astros will put bat on ball to get a sac fly or move a runner. Yeah. Or something will happen that ends up scoring a run. Exactly. Like Donaldson's up with second and third and one out, and he whiffs just an absolutely horrendous at bat. Like he pulled the Todd Frazier. He's swinging at a curveball after Maldonado's caught it and ready to throw it back to Verlander. He's taking a hack at it.
I mean, Josh Donaldson just looked very bad. He looked very bad at the plate today. The only time he looked decent was that last at bat where he worked a walk, and fought a changeup that in a fastball counter. It was a breaking ball of some sort where he fouled it off to extend the at bat and worked a walk. So that was it. That was really it. He looked terrible, overmatched.
This was teed up for the Yankees. They're making Verlander work early. He's at like 80 pitches through 4 innings. And then he just started to cruise. Strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. Just, I think, 10 in a row, whatever it was. It was just, he became unhittable, which is what Justin Verlander does. But I still come back to, it's a 1-1 game. And Taillon had just completed his second time through the order. He had only got 4 swings and misses the entire time. Okay? So I thought his day was done. I don't know who they were going to go to, whether they're going to go to Domingo Herman, which, I don't know, where is he? Like, Did he fly?
Non-existent. On the roster, non-existent. Boone
was asked that, and yeah. he said he's there to, quote-unquote, provide length, and he is healthy. So do as you will.
Okay, so provide length. Not so they're not using him in a... If it was the third inning, they would have used him, but not in the fifth inning. Okay, that's their plan. Whatever. So they bring Taillon back out. He gives up the one-out double to Peña, and then you go to Clark Schmidt. I mean, obviously, like, I freaked out at the time. I'm like, you're bringing Clark Schmidt to face Yordan Alvarez, and they just immediately walked him to set up a double play and ended up having a good at-bat.
Getting a double play.
Good at-bat to Bregman, but then he got Tucker to ground into a double play. I didn't necessarily agree with how it went down, because I would have either just started Trevino in the inning or started Clark Schmidt in the inning, or just, you know, no reason to start Taillon there and go batter to batter.
Well, yeah, I mean, you hate not having clean innings. So that's
when you're dealing with mediocre pitchers, I really hate not having clean innings. Yeah. Okay.
It was like stats, though, that the Yankees like put their relievers into, I don't have the stats off my head, top of my head, but that they put their relievers into like dirty innings, I guess would be the opposite of a clean inning, messy. More often than any other team in baseball. And the Astros do that the least out of any team in baseball. They love to have their guys have clean innings. They have guys 7, 8, 9.
Follow-up question. Who has the best bullpen ERA in baseball? Oh, that would be the Houston Astros.
Yeah. No, I understand. I understand. It's Boone does it time and time again. Time and time again. He tries to get that extra little bit.
But
tries to get that extra little bit.
It worked out.
It did work out. It was a hell of a it was a good pitch and a good turn. It was perfect.
Clark Schmidt overcame his manager in that situation and got the double play ball. Then he comes back out for the next inning. Unnecessary when you have Trevino, who's a much better short inning, high leverage
situational guy, yes,
than Clark Schmidt is, ready to go. And Clark Schmidt gives up the two home runs. I know Clark Schmidt had been really good against righties all season, and he gave up two home runs to righties. He was facing right-handed batters, but this is the ALCS, and it's the Houston Astros.
Where were they? Who were the home runs? Remind me again, where was that in the order? Was it at the bottom of the order?
Yeah, it was Gurriel, who was at 6.
And Chaz. Chaz Michaels.
I mean, I'm not calling 6 bottom of the order, but the...
McCoy Mac's 8. He's the center fielding. So he...
Yeah, okay, so...
It was the 6th and the 8th hitter.
Is this a situation that Boone's like bottom of the order, good against righties, gonna stretch
this
one? Let's
steal some outs. Is that terrible? Tie game in ALCS game one.
Is that terrible because of the righty situation? Because of the splits at that point with the bottom of the order?
It's not egregious, but it's also not. It's not the optimal play, and the optimal play was right there for them. Trevino did not pitch yesterday.
He pitched anyway. So that's the thing that pisses me off, is that he did
came
pitch.
In right after that.
Yeah. If he didn't pitch and you went right to Miguel Castro, and then Castro went 2 innings, and we're like, okay, I know what's happening here. We all see what's going on here. But they did use Trevino. So at that point, why not flip them? I'm with you on that.
They had a plan. They weren't going to use their big guys. And if I could see them being like, you know, we have a lead, you know, maybe we get, you know, Trevino is like, he's either going to be used to get out of a jam, or, you know, maybe if there's a save op, maybe they use Loaizaga for the one inning save, but like, weren't going to use Wandy, you know, weren't going to overextend Loaizaga. They were short down there. So it's like, all right,
if they overperformed, if they came out and played out of their minds with those players and they stole one, then that was just going to happen. They weren't going to position themselves to win it. You know, shake your head all you want. That's what was happening, right? Like that's what was happening. We all acknowledge that. Tomorrow,
you don't think that's frustrating?
It is frustrating.
I understand.
Hold on a second. I understand that tomorrow of these two games in Houston, you absolutely have the best opportunity to win with Severino on the mound and a bullpen that's more rested with a day off in front of you going home. Because yes. if you steal one game in Houston, game in Houston, you have Cole and Nestor lined up for at home. You're in a good spot, in a very good spot.
You are.
So, but the frustrating point about today is that they were in the game, which is ironic.
That's
ironic.
Thing.
it's ironic, but they were in the game on a Verlander start in the sixth inning.
If it's a 4-0 game or a 4-run game in the middle innings, yeah, use all your trash relievers you want. Have Frankie Montas go out there and pitch 100 pitches for all I care. Okay, but that's not the situation. It was a tie game in ALCS game one. I understand that you only need to get all the things you just said are true. But that kind of goes out the window when you're in a tie game of ALCS game one and it's the sixth inning, doesn't it? Don't you try and win that game? What happens, what happens if Luis Severino gives up 6 runs in the first inning tomorrow? Or if you score 6 runs in the first inning tomorrow, we saved all our big relievers and don't need them.
Yeah.
You don't play for tomorrow in the postseason.
I understand what you're saying. I'll play devil's advocate just to have a conversation about it, okay? Because if you are to go now 1-1 game and you bring in Loaisiga, he throws an inning and a half, whatever. Then you're going in with another high lever, Wandy. You're using Wandy for which wouldn't have happened, but let's just say you do, and then you lose it in the 9th or 10th inning. And now you're going into Severino and you don't have your best opportunity now because your relievers are burned. And what could have been your best opportunity with Severino and a deep bullpen after that of your top guys, you don't have because you blew it in that first game against Justin Verlander, which was, you know, Chalk was going to lose that game anyway. So
you're playing to lose. I'm trying to play to win.
No, they're playing to like if a guy, this is what happened. I'm not saying this is what I would have done or what, but this is what happened. If this guy outperforms his ability and we steal a win, then we're going to look like the smartest people alive. But we're going to save our guys for tomorrow. That's what's happening.
Let's try and look like the smartest people alive. Maybe they'll start Domingo Germán in an opener situation and piggyback with Luis Severino tomorrow. You know, maybe that's why
just for two outs.
Yeah,
two outs.
Maybe he's only going to pitch to Altuve. Domingo Germán's only going to pitch to Altuve leading off the game tomorrow. He'll throw him a first pitch strike, and Altuve will swing at it because that's what happens every single time Altuve is up there. But
So maybe, why don't starting pitchers have to get 3 outs or face 3 batters?
They do.
The starting pitcher does.
Mm-hmm.
Every pitcher.
Are you sure about that? Even the starting pitcher,
unless he, ow, my arm.
Well, yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
I want to talk about a couple of other things. So we can talk about the roster and then what they did with the lineup. I want to get your thoughts on it. So they added Montas, Greg Weissert, and Peraza. So Peraza's there. Obviously, Aaron Hicks is off. He's having a...
Why not just throw Weissert today and really go in on this strategy?
Yeah, right. Marwin Gonzalez is off. Hicks obviously off, and Lucas Licky off. So they swapped Lucas Licky and Greg Weissert, and they added an extra bullpen guy by adding Montas, and they added Peraza, and they ended up starting IKF back at shortstop. So they deemed Oswaldo they didn't want to start him at shortstop, and they didn't start him in left because Stanton was in left field. They gave him an opportunity to get Carpenter at DH, which today is probably going to be the last time that happens because he's 0-for-6 with 6 strikeouts in the postseason. But they go back to IKF at short instead of going to Peraza. I'm not saying I agree or disagree with it. It's just, what do you think?
I mean, it's fine. I don't know how you have a guy play shortstop, whether you like him or not, how you got to have a guy play shortstop your entire season and then just completely abandon that exact thing for the playoffs when you've done this the entire year for a guy that wasn't even on the ALDS roster. So it doesn't surprise me at all. Cabrera wasn't fucking Ozzie Smith at shortstop when he was in there. Peraza, you know.
What is he there for?
He bounced the ball. You know, I'm just saying.
Why is Peraza on the roster?
I think he's there for defense at the end, and that's why he came in. He came in to pinch run and play.
Can't Marwin
and then
do
they
that?
Slid over. Well, I think Peraza's a better shortstop than Marwin Gonzalez.
Okay, but like,
You're trying to tighten up the defense. We talked about this last time. The defense up the middle was a problem.
You're adding Peraza to play defense in the late innings. Like, this is just a waste of it. This is a waste. It's a waste.
Why? This is I'm pretty sure I predicted this exact situation with Carpenter DHing too. Why is this a waste of a situation? If you're trying to get stronger in defense at the shortstop position, why would you not add a better defender at shortstop? I don't understand.
So why wasn't he there?
What's your problem with this?
Why wasn't he there in the DS?
I don't know.
They're stuck.
They identified that they needed that during the DS. Did they not?
My point
is, did they not look at what happened and say they needed?
They're stuck between two shortstop plans right now, and you're stuck between two shortstop plans in game going into game two.
Two shortstop plans. You're talking crazy right now. Cabrera played shortstop. Yeah, exactly. So what are you even saying?
So they're stuck between starting IKF, who they're not confident in. They're starting IKF, who they benched 2 days ago, or
in an
they're
elimination
starting
game. In the most starting, important game of the season.
Yeah, or they're starting Cabrera, who has serious questions at shortstop, or they're starting a rookie who's played a handful of games in the major leagues. Those are the three shortstop options.
It sounds like a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Might as well get another one in there to understand who's better defensively. Later in the game,
who's starting
Peraza,
tomorrow?
Right,
they flip a coin, they picking names out of a hat. What are they doing?
But to say that Peraza is better defensively, the words out of Boone's mouth were, we see IKF as a top defender in baseball. Yeah, top five to seven defender in baseball. And if
you... Logan, haven't you understood now this long enough doing a podcast that you don't listen to what Aaron Boone says on a microphone? You don't listen to anything he says into a microphone.
It was so clearly not the... Like, IKF was so clearly 3 months ago not the best option. And they wouldn't do it.
So you're saying then start Peraza at shortstop, which is
or don't have him on the roster.
Your voice.
Yep. Start him at short or don't put him on the roster.
Yeah, I don't care.
So you'd rather Marwin Gonzalez on the roster? Like, what's the difference here?
If it's gonna be just a defensive replacement, I would rather have Marwin Gonzalez, who can also play left field or right field. Yes,
100%.
Who's a better shortstop?
Peraza. But if you're
which
only,
is a more important position.
But if you're only doing it for defense in late innings, and would you even pinch if you're tied? Or so it's only if you have a lead in late innings. And I'd be shocked
if he can also pinch run too. He's a good base dealer.
I would also be surprised if they actually
Marwin Gonzalez ain't stealing
in
base
for defense. So he's another pinch runner. So he's an infield Tim LoCastro. It's just like. It's just
yes, because
non-committal. They're just non-committal.
non-committal. There's no committing at this point. You're too down. You're too on the road. Yes, they're being non-committal, so they're shuffling. Like, I don't understand your problem with this one. I really don't. Because, yes, I want the defense tight late in games. I want the defense tight late in games.
Is he going to go in for IKF? Opportunity? Question. If you've got a one-run lead tomorrow in the eighth inning, is he going in for IKF?
No, but there's a possibility that Josh Donaldson, who's been a fucking black hole at the plate, that doesn't get a...
Who's a better third baseman? Who's a better third baseman? Donaldson or IKF?
Stop being stubborn for a second and listen to my point. You're not having Josh Donaldson on the base path late in the game. So if he's on the base path or he's up at the plate, there's an opportunity for you to pinch hit. Then you need someone to go over there and play third base to play defense. Who else is playing defense besides Josh Donaldson at third base? IKF. He's the only one. So you better have a shortstop that is going to be able to play. You can't do it with Cabrera because you might need a left fielder, just like you said. So if Donaldson is the liability that we all think he is, you better have a solution for him late in games if he's not on the base path or not at the plate, right? And IKF is the only one that goes over third. LeMahieu's not here. Marwin Gonzalez doesn't play third base. So you have more optionality with that.
You're not pinch running Donaldson if you're leading.
Why not?
Because you want to keep him in for defense because he's your best third baseman.
IKF is a gold glove third baseman.
He's not better than Donaldson.
He's a gold glove third baseman. And maybe Peraza goes in there and tightens up the whole left side. Maybe IKF and Peraza is better defense than Donaldson and IKF.
I don't know, but I'm pretty confident.
And you're getting speed on the base path.
IKF's not better defensive third baseman than Donaldson. Donaldson's been one of the top defensive third basemen in baseball this year.
That's fine. Was Josh Donaldson playing when IKF won
also, the third base? IKF won the Gold Glove, which is the biggest bullshit award in baseball, in the biggest bullshit season of all time in 2020. Okay, so it doesn't count.
Right. So now he's got a COVID.
He's got a latex glove. Yeah.
Is what he's got a dusty latex glove. You know, I mean,
I'm gonna really lose my mind if I watch them swing and miss it 500 curveballs all like for the next week. I'm gonna fucking tear my eyes out.
Does it hurt?
Those curveballs to Carpenter, man. It's just like there was
seven in a row. It was seven curveballs in a row.
Do you want his quote? And he had a quote on it after the game. He said, "Quote unquote,
I was sitting fastball.
The way he pitched tonight, I could have been playing the last 2 months, and it still would have been a tough day." So,
well, I believe him.
Old, I do too.
I believe him. And that curveball did look nasty. He's not lying. It did look nasty. Did I ever told you that I saw Justin Verlander do a two-story beer bong in college?
Have you ever
told story you, before,
you say? Yeah, because he has told this story six dozen times. We are on episode 710. I would venture to guess you have brought this up on roughly 45 to 50 podcasts that we've done.
I've got another good story I don't know if I've told. That my buddy texted me today about. So we saw Justin Verlander on campus one day, and my buddy who we call Nuts, his name is Mark. He was like, hey, he was in a class with me. He's like, yo, I was in a class with him. Watch this. It was a couple of days before the draft, I think, and it was, I guess, San Diego or Detroit were the first two spots at that point. He goes, hey, Verlander, Detroit or San Diego? He goes, Detroit, Mike. Kid's name is Mark.
Okay.
It was hilarious.
He didn't call him Nuts?
No, he barely knew them. Kid was definitely acting like he knew who he was. Had no idea who he was. But yeah, took that two-story beer bong like a champ. Had the drop of that 12-6.
No, he was almost ball. A Yankee.
Mm-hmm. They didn't want to pay him because they thought he was done. He's only won one Cy Young since then.
$30 million,
and then going to win in a second Cy Young.
Since then, it would have been nice. Imagine the series.
He's got a rubber arm, man. Oh. He's got a new rubber arm now.
Stanton in left field made a nice play after misplaying. It was a tough play in the first.
It was day. A tough play. I'm not sure he makes that play if he's been out there for.
But it just highlights how much they miss Benintendi's glove in left field. Like, this left field has been such a train wreck all postseason. And Benintendi.
How about Benintendi striking out 17 times and missing Benintendi's bat, too?
Yeah. Yeah. Missing his contact. Yeah. I mean, people were crushing. I saw people crushing Cashman.
That's a different dynamic.
I saw people after Montes gave up the home run, I saw people crushing Cashman again for the trade deadline. And it's like, obviously the Montes thing, I think, is definitely a second guess because he was injured when you acquired him. Bader has been tremendous, like four home runs in the postseason. Like,
yeah, that, I was going to say, like,
couldn't have worked out.
Genius, then he's an idiot. He's a genius. You're a genius.
And it's just, I really do think it's bad luck with Benintendi because I know he wasn't playing great when he went down, but you got to assume he would have started to hit better. And
he did start to hit better.
Yeah, it did. His defense is always good.
It's a different series in if he's playing left field in the Cleveland series. You win that series potentially in four games because you don't have the debacle in game two in left field. And it's like, man, to have his glove. The and I know it would mean Stanton is always DHing, but again, like you have such an elite defensive outfield with Benintendi, Bader, and Judge. Makes the amazing play in the first inning. I mean, that outfield would just be potentially the best defensive outfield in baseball if you had that right now.
Overshadowed that. Thank you for bringing that up. Forgot about it. I don't know how you could forget about that.
That's another reason why Taillon, you don't keep riding with him. He's a Judge dive away from being pulled in the first inning.
Yeah, well, that would have made you feel better, at least, right? For the way that the outcome of the game, if that happened. Hell of a catch. I mean, unbelievable catch. Fully outstretched, 6'8". When that ball was hit, I'm like, that's a gapper, no doubt. No doubt about it. And then
you just added an inch.
6'7", 6'8". I'm giving him 6'8". Just
make him 6'9".
He's
going to be 7'2". He's going to be 7'2" by the end of the series.
I don't know. What is he?
320 pounds.
What's he listed
as? Costas, I think, had him at 270. 280.
282, like, he's listed as. 6'7", 282 on Baseball Reference.
282.
Nah, he's so specific.
Muscle, baby. It's muscle.
Stan's like 15 pounds lighter than him, though.
Muscle's heavier than fat.
Yeah, Judge, he's got, he's...
And 6'6", 245.
He's got, let me know. Judge has thick thighs, thick ass.
Wait, you say Stanton's 6'6", 245?
Yeah, he's 35 pounds lighter, according to Baseball Reference.
No. Judge. No.
Stanton's lean, though. Stanton's a little leaner than Judge.
Little
lean. Yes, he is, but not 40 pounds.
Yeah, I don't think he's 40 pounds leaner.
I mean, those weights are all bullshit. David Ortiz was listed as like 215 for a while.
It's probably because he came up at 215 and nobody changed it.
So Stanton's probably been listed at 245 for 7 years.
I guess. David Ortiz is 230.
It's really, you can't really go back and check weights per year. They don't keep track of that, dude.
Pablo Sandoval would have been the best, just like going up and down, up and down. All right. Well,
but yeah, it just shows how that.
So I mean, obviously I'm pissed about today's game again, because I think it was a winnable game, but I by no means think this means the series over. You win game two and all bets are off. You control the series from there. But even if you don't win game two, you can still tie this. I'm still confident they can tie the series with Cole and Nestor going in 3-4. It obviously becomes like very detrimental or, you know, very difficult to do, but it's just, this was a winnable game, and anytime you got a winnable game in the postseason, it just sucks to lose.
And it was a winnable game up until halfway through the game, so a lot can happen, but I hear you. They were smack in the middle of a game with that Justin Verlander was pitching when he was out of the game,
when you had your fourth starter coming off no rest for the team. Like it was
house money.
You had a chance. Yeah. And it's just, I mean, the Astros have dominated the Yankees this year. The Yankees, the only two games that they've won this year were comeback wins. So they've never led against the Astros.
In a 1-0 lead today.
They immediately allowed the tie. So
the Astros took an at-bat behind in today's game for the first time this season.
Okay, fine.
Do you want to talk about the pitching for tomorrow?
That's the second.
Stats, if you'd like.
Yeah. Why is Montas on this roster?
That's a good question. They must see a lane for him. That's what Michael Kay said, and I'm going to go with it. So Framber, he started one game against the Yankees this year. That was the one at Yankee Stadium, the Aaron Hicks walk-off. He gave up the 3-run home run to Stanton in the first, but he went 6 innings, 2 hits. 3 runs, 3 walks, 7 strikeouts. Severino,
had two starts against Houston this year. Very, very similar. One at home, 6 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs. One on the road exactly 1 week later. That was how, do you remember when they went to Houston? It was like the week later for that one game.
June 30th, 6 innings, 3 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts.
They lost both of those games 1-4-2, 1-4-3. And keep an eye out because Stanton is 4-8 with a double and a homer off of Framber. Everybody else that's faced him, not very good. Look for Higgy to get the start tomorrow. Trevino's 0-10. And they've
Did Higgy catch Severino last outing?
He did, yeah. Yep. So expect that.
I also want to see Bader moved up in the lineup. I think they would put him at number 5, but I would actually be okay putting him leadoff and putting Glaber 5.
Someone asked me on Twitter, and I'll ask you again. Sorry for not remembering who asked me, but did they have the balls to do exactly what you're talking about tomorrow and put Peraza at short, IKF at third base, and bench Donaldson?
I don't think they have the balls to do it.
Nope. I think IKF rides the bench if
Peraza starts.
True.
But I think you've got to move Donaldson down in the lineup. I mean, he absolutely crushed you. That at-bat with second and third and one out and just a pathetic strikeout absolutely crushed you.
So why do you want him still there? I mean, look, you're saying that
Donaldson
Hold on. You're saying Donaldson's a better glove than IKF. Like, I'm not going to dispute that right now because IKF just hasn't shown anything, but he did win a gold glove at third base. That's probably his better position. It is his better position. Understand that he hasn't had the reps there as much. So, but you're not losing that much defensively with him at third base. Why not try to, or maybe it's Peraza or Cabrera, one of the two playing short, and try to add a guy in there that can, you know, make more contact to make something happen on the base paths, you know, add a little bit more speed to the lineup. It's not crazy.
It's not. I'm not opposed to it. I just don't think they'll do it. And I also think that Donaldson to IKF, that's a wash offensively, but you're downgrading defensively. They're both automatic outs, and you're losing a little bit
today.
They're both automatic outs, and you're losing a little bit defensively.
Do you guys think they keep Carpenter in the lineup against the lefty tomorrow?
No. Carpenter's not starting.
Not against the lefty.
This was Carpenter's last start. He's 0-6 with 6 strikeouts.
6 at-bats, we're going to judge him at 6 at-bats. He didn't have a live at-bat.
I'm not judging
a lie.
Yeah, in fact, exactly. I would feel a hell of a lot more confident with him now because he's gotten 6 at-bats under
100%. Himself. That's what he said today. He said, I was terrible, but if you try and take a positive out of it, I saw a lot of pitches.
Yes, he did. Yeah. He did see a lot. He worked the count.
He always
has a good at-bat. That's a good thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, Stanton's not going to
start. His swing is so looping up and down. It just makes it look worse when he swings and misses at that 12-6. It's like a full circle, like the ball and his swing.
Stanton's not going to start
doesn't look
at Yankee Stadium in the outfield. So,
Well, that's why you want to do it tomorrow when we time.
I would start Stanton again. I guess if you're starting Stanton again in the outfield, then Carpenter.
You're going Carpenter against the lefties. Against a lefty.
He's your best DH option unless you want to. Then you do Cabrera in left and Stanton DH.
Mm-hmm. Logan, can you look something up fast? What was Carpenter early in the year against lefties?
He was fucking mashing everyone.
I mean, he was mashing everyone, so that's probably going to be skewed.
I mean, I could look at his regular season splits because
he had like a 700 slugging against everyone.
He was better against lefties, actually. Yeah, but he hit in 20 games, 33 at-bats. He only had 33 at-bats against lefties, though. 333, 421, 849 slug, 1.270.
849 slug. Yeah, I mean,
you had a 684 slug.
The numbers were silly early in the year.
He had 100. He had basically 120 at-bats that he was. That's all it was. It was 120 at-bats.
They were glorious.
47 games.
All right.
Hey, not the end of the world. We got Severino on the bump, fully loaded bullpen.
Gerrit Cole on Saturday. Just get it back.
Gerrit Cole on Saturday. Just win tomorrow. Win tomorrow. This is a totally different mood.
You get 5 innings out of Severino and you empty the bullpen to win tomorrow. That's what you do. That's the lane, as the Yankees like to say.
The whole lane thing is fucking annoying me.
Oh, it's getting to you? Is it getting to you?
It's exactly how it is. No, I'm so sorry.
It's annoying.
It's so predictable and it's so If I could figure it out.
And Logan, you keep saying it too. You keep saying it.
Oh, and I'm right, like Joe Girardi, but I'm right.
Like Joe Girardi, like Aaron Boone. I know. I know you're just repeating what they're saying.
No, but I'm not even repeating what they're saying. I'm like, oh, Wandy's going to come in and face these three baddies for the fifth day in a row. Obviously. Yes, that's what they're going to do.
They love their lanes.
All right. It's why Moan does.
We will thank you. Thank you to everyone who's watching these live streams on YouTube and Twitter. We definitely appreciate it. Hopefully they're a little bit of therapy session after tough Yankees losses, or a little bit of celebratory after some Yankees wins. Hopefully we get a win after game two. We'll talk to you then.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.